The Bible reading for the sermon is found in the third chapter of Philippians, which was just read, with special emphasis that our citizenship is in heaven. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have made us citizens of our home in heaven. And we pray now that your Holy Spirit will be with us to help us to understand the meaning of your word for our lives, that we will find its helpfulness, its hope, its faith, and its love. In Jesus' name, amen. We hear now that our number one concern in this country, in the worries of the people, is crime. Random violence. In fact, this morning's news says it is twice that of any other concern in the country. People make comparisons between this problem and the Roman Empire in the time of its decline. In fact, one of our students spoke at Toastmasters recently, told about his coming here to the seminary, making the decision, feeling that this was so important, and describes our situation. Our nation is becoming unraveled. In fact, these words of Paul here, where he describes the situation of this Roman colony city at Philippi, namely, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame. And they set their minds on earthly things. Could be an interpretation of our daily news. So where can we find hope or reason to rejoice? Because Paul is writing this from prison. And he starts it out saying rejoice, which is a theme repeated about 16 times in these four short chapters. Looking at this threatening situation, how can we rejoice? And he gives us some reasons. First of all, we can rejoice because we have a Savior who has the power and the love. To use in a little literal translation of these words about changing our body, the power and the love to change the situation. We need a miracle. In fact, here I am speaking not only in a nation, a leading power in our current civilization, but in a city that is growing most rapidly in the increase of gangsterism and random violence. And I've been working for a couple years just on this issue of the need for urban mission and ministry. And City Hall knows it. Our students have gone there on a field trip. And the mayor called me one night, and he talked for about a half hour, describing the situation in this country, where one of his expert detectives has described it as it'll take 25 years to turn this situation around right here in Fort Wayne. The mayor describes it, I quote, "This is scary." Therefore, we look to God for help. And we know that He has always helped His people in times past. Paul says, the most important thing, you know, the crime, the violence, these are symptoms of it. The most important thing is that we know this Jesus Christ is our Savior. That's more urgent and important than knowing the crime statistics. To be in communion with Jesus Christ. To be in a situation where this is reinforced, as here in this chapel, in this seminary, I can rejoice because his talking about rejoicing to the Philippians was the first step on the movement of Christianity into Europe and up to where my relatives and the relatives of many of you were savages, riding bareback on their horses across the plains and through the forests, piling brush on rocks, burning their children and thinking they were doing God a favor. and mine between the area around Berlin and Wittenberg and the Oder Neisse. I can rejoice because of the sacrifice of those missionaries who went through Europe or the area of any of the places where our ancestors come from. They died as martyrs, risked their lives that our ancestors could be saved and come to an ethic that would civilize them. And that the Reformation took place here between Berlin and the Oder Neisse. And that we would know through the Word and be able to learn the Bible and be saved and be civilized and to have the joy and the honor of serving in this church and to know right here in our midst, this is an emphasis on communion today, that there would be something sacred about the communion with Jesus Christ in the church service, in the sacraments, also in that of baptism. That there we would come to faith and know about repentance. And that's important to us too. I had the key to my mother's lockbox. And when she died, I officiated at her funeral. And I went to the lockbox and opened it. And there was this old yellow Taufschein, the baptismal certificate folded over and broken at the crease. This meant much, that we'd be in a faith relationship to Jesus Christ. There's a conflict in Philippi. Two women got in an argument. People are polarizing on each side. And Paul is trying to bring that community together in unity. Politoima. A political unity, a citizenship in heaven. And he talks about these two women and Clement and those who helped in the mission. He says, we worked hard together. And their names are written in the book of life. It meant a lot to my mother that her name was written on a baptismal certificate. And studying for her funeral, she had studied the worn-out three Bibles in the Augsburg Confession in fine print. She had written with red ink in the margins and underlined words. I can rejoice because I'm in a tradition like this where Jesus Christ means most. And that's in a culture here too, as well as the negatives. One of the Hall of Fame basketball players playing on an NCAA Big Ten championship team and then with the Boston Celtics, John Havlicek would be invited to go and speak to youth groups. You start out and you say, now I know you invited me to talk to you about basketball. But I want to tell you something that's a lot more important in your lives. Jesus Christ. Paul says, the most important thing, the supreme value, is to know Jesus Christ and his power and his love. As Alfred North Whitehead says in The Adventure of Ideas, the history of all the religions and ideas of man, in mankind's history, he says, that love of Jesus Christ wears away all competition and ideas like water wears away granite. So we can rejoice. And we can rejoice because Paul gives us a model. He says, follow us. You see the typon, the model that I give you? He talks about Timothy and Epaphroditus, who were to carry that money for the poor people up and down the road from Neapolis to Philippi. And if there was ever a place of violence and crime, there it was, as the robbers would try to get the money away from the people. And the crack centurion with his troops would go there and try to protect the people. So Paul talks about Timothy. He says, he is not concerned for himself. He's concerned for you. You have this model. And that means a lot today too. It is not only that we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so that the name of Jesus can be known to be the name above every name. It's not only the lip confession, but he talks about following this path, walking this way, having this model. Ethics, in this sense, is imprinted. Nehru said, "Your missionaries can come to India when we see you living that Christian ethic and standing tall, we'll notice you and we'll invite you in." I was interviewing one of our students on a radio program. "Why did you come to seminary and study for the ministry?" "Oh," he said, he was at a Big Ten university too. "And my roommate," he said, "they had a party and he was chugging beer and he got sick, he got intoxicated and he choked to death. He says, that was such a traumatic experience for me." You see, he's turning toward living worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the base. That's the term used here for the ethics of the book of Philippians. Live worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wanted to be a leader, that others would be doing that, following that imprinted model. A girl likewise that I confirmed at another Big Ten school went away to college in her first year. She tells about her two roommates would party on the weekend, come in intoxicated, vomit. She said, "I had to scrub out the room, air it out, open the windows, hang the throw rugs out the window." After a few months of this, these two roommate girls noticed the lifestyle, the model that Paul talks about here, the tipan of the Christian, and they asked her one day, "Nadine, could we go to church with you Sunday? We can rejoice that this persuasive power of Christ's love, living worthy of the gospel, is recommending itself," like Paul says to the Corinthians, "you are our letters of recommendation. And finally, we rejoice because we are citizens of our home in heaven." This power and love of Jesus Christ energizes, starts in force by that creative power that subjects all things unto him in time and space, in history and in nature, that he can change, transfigure this humble body and make of it a glorious body. Our citizenship is in heaven, from where we look for a Savior. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your minds and souls in Christ unto everlasting life. Amen.